Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. This is the reading of God's word. And he began telling his parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, mostly your word. We are so thankful that you have written your word so that we may know the truth, that we may know you. And we thank you for this time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ and have that sweet fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us know the truth, so that we may be free, free of all sin and free of this world. And Father, we pray that by your grace, the word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear, understand, and believe and obey your word. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through what he does and what he teaches, he shows us what is really happening. He witnesses to us what time it is according to our God. Today, he does the same thing, but today he does that through a parable. So let me read to you this parable once again, Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down." And, you know, you might wonder why I read that passage one more time, even when we read it a couple minutes ago. Actually, I do it deliberately because that's God's word. So I don't mind reading many times during the sermon the exact passage in the Bible. Well, there was a fig tree in the vineyard that did not bear any fruit for 3 years. An owner came and said to the vineyard keeper, "Cut it down. It just uses up the ground." But the vineyard keeper says to the owner, "I will dig around it and put in fertilizer, so let it alone this year. If it bears fruit, then fine. But if not, then cut it down." Well, first thing that we must remember as we look at this parable is that our God in the Old Testament, and I could show you many, many verses in the Old Testament, our God in the Old Testament expressed Israel and the Israelites as a vineyard or a vine or a fig tree. So you could kind of already understand what this parable is all about. Not only God expressed Israel and Israelites as a vineyard or a vine or fig tree, He also expressed their acts of repentance and obedience as bearing fruits. The fruits. We find in Luke chapter 3, verse 8a, therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And in Mark chapter 11, we read about a story in which our Lord Jesus Christ cursed a fig tree. There, the fig tree is a symbol of the Jewish leaders and temple and the Judaism center on that temple. There, the fig tree has much leaves, but it had no fruits. Just like it, the temple on the outside seems like serving God and doing the works of God, but it was actually doing the exact opposite. Thus, the temple and the Judaism are being cursed by God. And Jesus witnesses the coming of the true temple and the true kingdom of God. Like it, God expressed Israel as a tree, and from them desired many fruits. God desired their repentance and obedience. But as you know, they didn't bear any fruits. Ultimately, Israel, which did not believe in Jesus Christ, was the symbol, the type, pointing to the unbelieving world. Hosea 9 verse 10, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. But they came to Baal Peor, meaning Satan, and devoted themselves to shame. And they became as detestable as that which they loved. Micah chapter 7 verse 1 and 2. Woe is me, for I am like the fruit pickers, like the grape gatherers. There is not a cluster of grapes to eat, or a first ripe fig tree I crave. The godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among men. Everybody be their sinners. But God described that reality as a tree without any fruits. If we go to Psalm 80 verse 8, it says, You removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. God moved a vine from Egypt. So Israelites, again, symbolized as a vine. And God drove out nations who were in the promised land, and He plants this vine. Obviously, you could see this verse refers to the Old Testament exodus from Egypt. God led them to the land of Canaan. But what happened? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1 through 2, My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it around, all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it and also hewed out a vine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good fruits, good grapes. But it produced only worthless ones. So God says, you know, I planted a vine and desired a good fruits, good grapes to enjoy, but they only produce worthless ones. The history of Israel and history of all the sinners all around us. They did not repent of their sins and they did not obey God. They just completely ignored God and they just did not obey. In terms of today's passage, they did not produce any fruits. Thus, what happens? God's judgment comes. Verse 7 in our passage, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down." That phrase, cut it down, it refers to the eternal judgment of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 9, "Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Same thing as Luke chapter 3, verse 9. Israel, which did not receive Jesus Christ, and the unbelieving world that it points to, all of them are the sinners who deserve the eternal judgment of God. Jeremiah 8, verse 13, "I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf will wither, and what I have given them will pass away." That's the story of the whole world. God created us in His image. He created us as righteous people, meaning good tree. And yet Adam and Eve, they sinned, became bad tree. They could no longer produce good fruits that God could enjoy. So God said, cut it down. I mean, you would do the same, no? Let's say you have a tree in your backyard and it never bears any fruit, but it just uses up your land and it just doesn't do any good for you. What are you going to do? You will cut it down. I mean, it's a natural. You don't produce fruits, then you have to be cut it down. That's the story of our lives without Christ. But in our passage, we see how gracious our God is. Our God is a long-suffering God. That is what is witnessed in our parable. In it, we see God willing to wait another year for the tree to bear fruits. He gives the sinners the opportunity to repent of their sins and to bear the fruits. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance," meaning all will bear the fruit. 2 No, I read that. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. But if the tree does bear fruits, even after 1 year, bear fruits, even after 1 year, if the sinners do not repent, then it will be cut down. The judgment of God will come. Thus, presently, it is urgent. There is not much time left. God's kingdom has come. The end has come. It is the same message as the previous passage we read. We must repent of our sins quickly. We must receive Jesus Christ quickly. Not much time left. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what time it is right now. Now is the time. You cannot delay. God is coming. He has already come. But the world will not listen. 2nd, the day and that time has already come and it will soon pass. So that's the urgent message. We all must repent. At the time when Jesus was dying on the cross, God could come and judge the whole world, but that's not what we see in the Bible. I mean, think about it. When Jesus, his son, was dying for his people, and when he was dying on the cross, God could just come and just destroy everyone, bring that final judgment at the world. He could have done that. But Bible is very clear. God provides the church age so that all would have the opportunity to repent of their sins. He waited 2,000 years now. It's urgent that we repent and trust God. Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So do you see it? The whole church age, for 2,000 years, it is God giving the opportunity for anybody to repent of their sins. God could have judged this world 2,000 years ago. Like I said, when Jesus was dying on the cross, God could also judge the whole world at that time. But for 2,000 years, He waits so that people will repent. The amazing grace of our long-suffering God. But let me ask you a question. What do you think? When you look at our passage for today, can you have confidence that the tree in our passage will actually bear the fruits if the vineyard keeper digs around it and puts in fertilizer? Do you have confidence that tree will actually bear fruits? We see in the Old Testament. You remember these passages that we read? God refers Israel as vineyard or fig tree or vine. He plants this good vine, but they produce worthless. But you have to understand, God did took care of that vine. Oh, he dug around it and he gave so much fertilizer. But did that vine produce good fruits? No. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. What more, God says, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? I did everything I could. I mean, if you look at the story of Adam, God provided a paradise. And in that paradise, there was everything that Adam needed. There was, I mean, think about it. Everything God has created for Adam. What more can God do for Adam? And yet he sinned. Just like it, the Israelites did the same. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why? When I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall and it will become trampled ground for the vineyard of the Lord. Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and man of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress. So what is God saying? I did everything I could, but the vine only produced worthless ones. So what? I will destroy the whole vineyard. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. And that's exactly what should happen in our lives, because we're as sinner as they were. Sinners are hopeless on their own. This is why I don't come here and preach to you that, hey, do your best to produce good fruits so God could enjoy. Because you just cannot produce good fruits on your own. I don't care how much you try. That is not the message of the Bible. But that is how it is taught in so many churches. As if you have ability to produce good fruits on your own. Only problem is that you didn't try hard enough. And the only solution is that now you could try your best, then you will produce good fruits. No! You can't. This is why without Christ, it's hopeless. But that's what the world says. If we educate people, then they will do it. No. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all have sinned, and we all became the tree without any fruits or worthless fruits. All have become the trees that deserve only to be cut down. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Thus, Romans chapter 3, we read this so many times that it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of apes under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. See, there is no good tree to bear good fruits that God could enjoy. All have sinned and became the bad tree that deserves to be cut down forever. But like I always do, I bring the gospel, the good news. Because up to this point, everything I said, this is not good news. But the good news is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to save us. And how does he do that in terms of what we are reading today? You see, he is the true vine. He is the true tree. Only he can bear good fruits. No one else, not you, not me, only Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4-5, abide in me, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't care how much you try. Fruit that you will bear would not be good enough for God to enjoy. The only way for us to bear good fruits is to be united to Jesus Christ. Because he is the vine, Jesus is the tree, and we are the branches. Thus, Jesus and us, see, the tree and all the vines united to that tree. So Jesus and us together. That is the tree that will bear good fruits that God will enjoy. Do you understand? There is only one tree in the whole universe. That's Jesus and all of believers who are united to Christ as branches. And only that tree will bear good fruits. So Jesus and us together, that's the tree. Beautiful tree. Bearing all kinds of fruits that our God enjoys. See, this is the only tree that bears good fruits. Nothing else. all others apart from Jesus, even though outwardly they might look like a good tree, good leaves or whatever, but they are fruitless. Ultimately, even if it looks like a good tree, without Christ, they are the trees that are dead. They are the corrupt trees. They are the rotten trees. They are the trees that deserve to be cut down forever. They cannot bear the fruits that God could enjoy. We were just like that before our salvation. But Jesus has saved us and engraved us unto Him, the only good tree that bears good fruit. So brothers and sisters, do you see it then? Only Jesus Christ is the tree that bears good fruit. Period. And if you are not united to Him, then there is no way for you to produce any good fruits that God would enjoy. We have become, by being united to Jesus, we have become the good tree with Christ that bears good fruits. It is not something that we could accomplish by our own good works or our efforts. Of course we must put every effort, but the good fruits are not bore by that. John chapter 15 verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Clearly stated there. Apart from Christ, you and I, we cannot do anything that will please God. But the world thinks that if they put some effort into their lives, that God will actually be happy with them. And they get so upset to realize their best is just not good enough. But if they truly realize what their best is all about, it's worthless. But let us remember how this heavenly reality that we have become good tree to bear good fruits, how this reality has been accomplished. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He actually lived a perfect righteous life, meaning that He obeyed God the Father perfectly. He has lived a life that has brought perfect pleasure to our God the Father. Jesus is sinless. And yet, because He was bearing our sins, when He was dying on the cross, He was cut down, cut off, just like the tree that was not able to bear the good fruit that God could enjoy. He was cut down on the cross for us. He received the curse that the fig tree, which could not bear the fruit, received in Mark chapter 11. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And because of what He has done for us, we who are in Christ have become the tree that always bears the good fruit. God would always enjoy us. You and I who are in Christ, we are God's people who repent of our sins, and by faith we obey our God. We bear good fruit. Every time you repent of your sins, realize you are bearing good fruits. It's not about you go out and be so successful That's not the fruit God is seeking. That kind of fruit, even non-Christians bear it. No, they bear a bigger fruit than you. They're more successful. That's not how you bore good fruits. Bible tells you, repent. Repent of your sins. And obey by faith. And the Holy Spirit lives in us and works in us to bear the fruit of the Spirit now and forever. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You could see it behind me. Fruit of the Spirit. Oh, this is fruit that God enjoys. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us already in Christ. We bear always the fruits that God wants. We bear the good fruits in Jesus Christ. And this is the thing you must believe. You must believe and repent and obey by faith. It brings so much joy, doesn't it? What if God says, okay, you bear good fruit on your own? Then what? Oh, we could try. We could try to do good works, but God says that's not good according to His standard. Then we have to be cut down. Thrown into fire forever. But God tells us how we could bear good fruits. How we could be good tree. Well, we need to be united to the good tree. And with Christ, we are now good tree, bears good fruit. And just bearing the fruits that God is actually enjoying. Otherwise, everything we do is sin. And even though we love our God and we want to please Him, there's just no way for us to please Him. There's no way for us to bear that good fruit. And yet in Christ, we are able to do that. God actually, He is actually happy with us. He enjoys us. I don't know about you, but knowing this, that God actually enjoys. There's nothing better than this. Even when we love God, if it was our own to produce good fruits so that our God could enjoy, and so you try your best every single day, you put every effort into it, but you could not please Him. Can you even picture that kind of life? But that's not what is happening in our lives. We believe, so we repent, and we live by faith, and believe that He enjoys. What does it mean to you? It means way, way more important than my life, that I am able to please God. That He actually enjoys me. This is what life is all about. Can you picture a son whose parents just abandon that son. And this son does everything, you know, he puts all kinds of effort, and he just trying his best so that his parents will love him. That's the kind of life we could only live without Christ. We try so hard that God will love us, but He can't. But the gospel says God is pleased with us. That I could actually bring pleasure to Him. And that's what love is all about. That's why when you see couple in love, they're just happy to bring pleasure to the partner, pleasure to the couple, the other one, the other member of that couple. Their pleasure, that the other person's pleasure is their pleasure. This is what love is. If you never experienced it, then you never loved anyone. Because your love, I don't know, these days everybody's so self-centered. They think it's just all about them. But true love is seeing the pleasure on the other person. You bring that pleasure. And this is exactly what we are able to do to God in Jesus Christ. Can you see our God just enjoying the fruits that we bear in Christ? That He is actually happy with what I do in my life? Because I do it with faith? What does this mean to you? This is our heavenly reality that has been already accomplished in Christ. The joyous life of heaven has been accomplished. So let us do our best by faith in Jesus Christ, bear the good fruits, so that our God would enjoy now and forever. God walking into His vineyard, and you and I, we are the tree there, bearing all these good fruits, and God just picks those fruits and He enjoys forever and ever. And you could see a big smile in God's face. That's everything to us. That's what being a Christian really means. That's why Christians are happy people. You know, when you look at someone and when they're not happy, then question whether they're truly Christian or not. Because it really doesn't matter what happens in their lives. If they're truly Christian and love God and be loved by God, they will be happy. And if they say, I'm a Christian but I'm not happy, then he's not a Christian. Or he doesn't know what being Christian really means. How can you not be happy when God is happy with you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that we are able to produce good fruits in Jesus Christ. That You will be happy with, that You will enjoy. Oh Father, it is truly the gospel, the good news. And we love You, God, because You love us. Let us show this sweet fellowship between You and us. Let us show that in everything that we do in this world. Oh, Father, we thank you that you enjoy us as we enjoy you. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.